We had an early morning meeting this morning at 8 o'clock, and we were looking at Nicodemus, who came to Jesus one night long ago. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a great question in his heart. He was concerned about his soul. Of course, he had the fear of man. He was concerned what others would think about him. And therefore, he came by night. But thank God he came. And coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came before the Lord Jesus told him a wonderful way of salvation in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we find God, we have in that verse of God's word, we have the gospel in the nutshell. In the passage of God's word that we read together, or read together in Luke's gospel chapter 18, we have the story of two men. One again was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. These two men, the Bible tells us, they come to the house of God, or they come to the temple. Verse number 10 of Luke chapter 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Dr. R.A. Torrey, one of the famous American preachers, said, he said, we have in this story the deluded Pharisee and the delivered publican. He talked about the story of a good man that was lost and the bad man who was saved. I think that title is certainly most striking and most fitting for the story. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem. When he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to the cross. And there on that cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ will shed his precious blood to save sinners just like you and me. But before the Lord Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he enters into a village that is recorded for us in chapter 17. In verse number 12 it says, and as he entered into a certain village. And so the Lord Jesus enters into this certain village, and through these parables, the Lord Jesus addresses the questions and the demands of the people. Now, when it comes to chapter 18, the Lord tells us a parable, verse number 9, and Jesus spake this parable unto certain people. Now, we're not left to our own understanding to understand why the Lord Jesus spoke this parable. Because the Bible tells us very clearly why he spoke this particular parable. Look at verse 9 again. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, I want you to notice there were two reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke this parable. He spoke it unto certain which, first of all, it says, which trusted in themselves. In other words, these were people who had got a self-righteous security of their own. They trusted in themselves. In other words, they trusted in their good works to gain them salvation, or to get them to heaven, or to appease the righteousness of a holy God. In other words, they thought that they were good enough of themselves, that they would make it of themselves to heaven. And then I tell you, there are multitudes like that today. There are multitudes of men and women in Singapore, and they are trusting in themselves. They don't need God's salvation. They don't need God to save them. They don't need God to deliver them from their sin, because they are good enough. And if you were to ask them, how are they getting to heaven? Their answer is simple. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm making it my way. It's not God's way of salvation. It's my way of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to people here in this village, and there were many people there just like that. They were trusting in themselves, and God owed them salvation because of their works, because of what they do. And there are people, perhaps even in this congregation today, sitting among the people of God, and friend, you are trying to work your way to heaven. You're trying to do the best that you can to make it to heaven because you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to be lost for all eternity. But you believe that somehow you're going to make it yourself. You're making it your way. You're doing it your way. Just as the old song says, I did it my way. But I want to tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ addressed those very people, those that trusted in themselves. Now, that was the first reason why the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them. And the Lord Jesus was a very straightforward preacher. He didn't beat around the bush, as we would say in Northern Ireland. There were no frills in what the Lord Jesus, he went direct to the problem. He went direct to the heart. He wasn't trying to impress them. He was preaching to them. He was speaking to direct to their needs or their hearts. And I confess today, I haven't come to ask you to be impressed by me. I want you to see your need before God, friend, and I want the Holy Spirit of God to open up your hearts to see, I need Jesus. I need the Lord Jesus because He is the only way for me to know peace and pardon within my heart. These people, the Lord Jesus knew they trusted in themselves. Secondly, notice it said they not only trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but it says they despised others. And the word there, despised, is mean they considered or they treated as nothing others. In other words, they cast aside all others beside themselves into one class. They were the others. And they elevated themselves by pushing down the others and looking down upon others. There's a verse in the Old Testament on Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 5, it says, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. You see, friend, there are people, and they would despise others, they would dismiss others, because they would look down at others and frown upon them, because they're not as they are. I want to tell you, if you're here today, and that's how you feel, perhaps you think that, well, you know, I'm all right. I'm not like he is. I'm not like others are. Well, see this. The Lord Jesus addresses this very thing in this parable, and that's why he spake the parable. Now, I want you to come with me now to look into the parable itself. Because how did the Lord Jesus address such people in that congregation? He told them this parable. He told them this earthly story, but it had a very powerful and a very spiritual meaning. Listen to the parable of the Lord Jesus spake. Verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. Now, there are three things illustrated in this passage of God's Word, friend, that is before us. There is religion here. There is rejection here. And there is redemption here. In this story that the Lord Jesus Christ spake in this parable. And I want you to come with me and carefully consider the two men. And I want you to look at the good man that was lost. And the bad man that was saved. It seems a contradiction, but I want to tell you, friend, this is reality. This is the Savior speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ, who never spoke a lie, in him there was no sin. He said to the crowd, which of you can convince me of sin? In other words, will find a sin in me. And there was none. Because he's a sinless, spotless, holy, crimeless Lamb of God that came to take the sin away, the sin of the world. Now the Lord Jesus brings us to two men. The two men could be in this meeting today. Friend, let me tell you, here's the first person, because it's the Spirit of God. Verse number 11. The Pharisee. Now we're going to look at him. He's the very first one that the Lord Jesus Christ draws our attention to. In verse number 13, there is the other person that's mentioned, because it says, and the publican. And so here's the two men. There's the Pharisee, and there's the publican. Now, the Lord Jesus draws our attention, first of all, let's go back to verse 11. He draws our attention to the Pharisee, and this is what the Savior says concerning him. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I pass twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, I want you to think of that carefully, what the Lord Jesus says about this man. Because the Lord hears what he's saying. And the Lord records for us in this parable. Now, it could be said that this man had many good characteristics about him. In other words, he represented a class of people about whom much is actually written about in the Word of God. The name Pharisee signifies to separate. He was a separated one. You remember the Old Testament spoke about the lepers, how that the lepers were separated from the rest of the people. But this is not the separation that we're talking about here. Because the leper, he was driven out. He was cast out from the rest of the people. He was set apart in a place of his own. The Bible in the New Testament talks about we are separated unto the Lord. Wherefore come out from among them, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, and be ye separate. And God has separated a people unto himself. Now this is not the kind of separation concerning this Pharisee. He wasn't on the one hand cast out like the leper. He wasn't on the others called out like those who are called out and are a part of God's family. But he was one who separated himself because of his own pride or his superior supposed piety. He was separated from the rest. The Pharisees give attention to the smallest parts of the law whilst neglecting its true commandment. Do you remember a famous Pharisee? His name was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. And actual fact, if you read, let's turn for a moment to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And you know, friend, let me tell you, if being a Pharisee could have saved and taken a man to heaven, then it would have taken Saul of Tarsus to heaven. But I want you to notice the things that he could have relied upon. And in actual fact, Saul in his own day did rely upon. And yet he was lost and had to be gloriously saved by the grace of God. In Philippians chapter 3, if you look at verse number 4, it says this, for though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I'm more. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day. He said he was of the stock of Israel. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. He realized that all of those things that he could boast of. And friend, we haven't time to go into it, but if you look there at verse number 5, first of all, it says, he could boast about his rituals. He said he was circumcised the eighth day, exactly as was prescribed in the law. He not only had ritual, he had relationship, because he spoke about he was of the stock of Israel. He could trace his heritage back to Abram, to Isaac, and Jacob. What a relation to have What a relationship. Surely that's about to take him to heaven. And then he talks about respectability. Because, he says, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember Benjamin? Benjamin was the only other brother of Joseph. And those that have been to the camp have heard certainly a lot about Joseph this past week. But Benjamin was his younger brother. And therefore he could say, well listen, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. My brother Joseph became the great man down in Egypt. And he could talk about respectability. And then he could talk about race. Because he said this, I'm an Hebrew of the Hebrews. In other words, he says, listen, I am full-blooded. I'm a full-blooded Jew. I'm not half-blooded. I'm full-blooded Jew. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now he could boast about his race. And then he could boast about his religion. He said, I, as touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. I'm deeply religious. I'm deeply religious. If you could only understand how religious I am. And then he could say this, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, he could boast of his reputation. What a reputation he had. And then he said this, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. I am righteous. Notice all the things that he could boast of. He said, this is me. I'm the Pharisee. And yet, my friend, on that Damascus road, God stopped Saul of Tarsus and showed him that he was lost. And all of his race, with all of his relationship, with all of his religion, with all of his ritual, with all of his respectability, he was lost. And friend, that's the most important thing that we realize, just how lost we really are in our sin. And here's a Pharisee in the Word of God. And friend, let me tell you this. This Pharisee, the Bible says, he went into the temple to pray and he stood, verse 11. Let's go back to Luke chapter 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed. Now listen. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. In other words, he believed there was a God. He wasn't a person that dismissed God out of his life. He wasn't one who said, there is no God. The Bible says in the book of the Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And my friend, this world is filled with fools who try to say that this world began without God. In the beginning, God. And here is a man, and you say, listen, he believes there is a God. And he was praying. He was praying. He was praying, not with his back, as it were, against a wall because he was in trouble. Some people, the only time they pray is whenever there's nowhere else to go. They've tried everybody else. They've tried everything else. And then they better try God because everyone else has failed. But the Bible tells us this man goes to the temple to pray. Now you say, that's good. What a character. What a person this is. But I want you to notice why the Lord Jesus Christ shows us the serious situation for this man. Now look at the Word of God. It says in verse 11, he stood and prayed thus with himself. With himself. In other words, he prayed by himself. Now it says he stood. That was the common Jewish posture in prayer. But he was standing in a place with himself. He was standing in a place where he could be seen. He prayed so that he could be heard. In other words, he wanted the attention of the people toward him. Probably he felt. He stood with himself because he felt that others were unworthy to even come near his holy person. But think of that again. He prayed thus with himself. With himself. He not only stood by himself, he prayed with himself. And friend, that was an accurate description of his praying. This was not real prayer at all. He was talking aloud, but he was talking to himself. This was just formality. This wasn't a real heart experience that this man had. In actual fact, God really wasn't in this prayer. Yes, God got a mention. Oh yes, he got a mention. The first thing he said was this, God, I thank thee. And that's where God finished in the prayer. That's where God finished in the prayer. I thank thee. You see, God got simply one mention. But he had no fellowship. He had no fellowship with God. He prayed, the word of God said, the Lord Jesus is speaking, he prayed with himself. And then just because people go through a religious prayer, just because people go through a religious ritual, and they go through their prayer book, or they go through the Bible and they read, that is not a relationship with God. You need a personal, individual relationship with Jesus Christ through the new birth, to be born again of the Spirit of God, and to know God as your God and as your Savior. He prayed with himself. He prayed by himself. But there's something else. He prayed about himself. You see, God really wasn't in this. He was in it. You notice his prayer. Just look at it. God, I thank thee. But what does he thank thee? He says, God, I thank thee. I'm not as other men are. Look at me. I'm not like other men. I'm not like other men are. Extortioners? I'm not an extortioner. Unjust? I'm not unjust. Adulterer? I'm not an adulterer. And you see that old publican over there? I'm not like him either. Lord, I thank thee. I'm such a wonderful person. I just want to thank you just for me. You see, friend, this was not real prayer. He was a person whom the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to and about, a person who trusted in himself. And if you're here this morning and you're trusting in yourself to get you to heaven, I want to tell you, friend, you're going to hell. You will be lost for all eternity. For you will never make it to heaven by yourself. You remember this thought if you remember nothing else. You can get to heaven without fortune. You can get to heaven without fame. You can get to heaven without possession. But you will never, listen to me carefully, you will never ever get to heaven without Jesus. Remember that. You will never ever get to heaven without Jesus. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then lest any man misunderstand it, he said, no man, no woman, no person, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you have, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. Friend, he's the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And men and women in this world need to realize this today. I need Jesus. I need the Lord Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord and as my friend. You see, his prayer was all about himself. His obsession, his real obsession was about himself. I thank thee. I thank thee I'm not as other men are. And then he said this to the Lord. He says, I'm not an extortioner. The word there means one who snatches away. Probably he was taking a swipe again at the publican. Because the publican was seen as a part of the crooked Roman tax system. And quite often they made people unjustly pay above that was due to be paid. And said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. The word there, to treat others unfairly. You have the appearance of honesty. He classed himself as honest, not as a thief, as law-abiding, not as a criminal, as a good citizen, not as a lawbreaker, as sober, not as a drunkard. Yes, Lord, I thank you. I'm not unjust. Listen, I'm not an adulterer. I have been a faithful husband. I have been faithful to my wife and to my family. And then let me tell you, that is commendable. because that's what a man ought to be. But that will not take you to heaven. That will never take you through the pearly gates of heaven. And then before he finished saying, I'm not as others, he can't stop himself. He takes a swipe at the publican again. And I'm not like that publican over there. He insults the publican. Let me tell you, my friend, if his heart had been right with God, he would have prayed for the publican, not abused the publican. He didn't care about the publican. He didn't care if the publican went to hell. He didn't care if the publican was lost. But he used the publican to make himself look good. I'm not like him. So God, I thank you for all that. You notice something in this prayer, friend? This man has no sense of his own sin. He has no sense of sin at all, a sin at all. Oh, I'm not like the publican. I'm not the extortioner. I'm not the unjust. I'm not the adulterer. I'm not as other men are. Other men are, God. I fast twice a week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, he boasted of what he did. No sense of his own sin. No sense of failure. You know there was no law that commanded a man to fast twice a week? There was an obligation to fast once per year on the Day of Atonement. But there was no law which demanded them to fast twice a week. But those who sought to gain special merit, they fasted on a Monday and Thursday. When they did, quite often, they whitened their faces to advertise their special piety. You see, friend, they had no sense. This man had no sense of his sin. He had no sense of his failure. Listen, something else. He had no sense of need. Do you notice in that prayer, if you look back in his prayer, verse 11, he stood and prayed thus, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Notice he asked nothing of God. There's nothing in his prayer. He asked nothing of God, friend. Do you know why? Because he saw he had no need of anything. He was all he needed. He was all he needed. He didn't need God. He didn't need God's pardon. He didn't need God's salvation because he was not a sinner. He did not see his sin. You notice what he said? He says, I'm not as other men are. How wrong he was. Friend, I can tell you this. He was exactly as other men are. For the Word of God says, Romans chapter 3, 22-23, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Not some. Not most. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friend, listen. There are some people, and they're right down in the depths of sin. And there are other people who are walking, as it were, the clean side of the road. But they're both going to hell. In our country, it used to be that you had to be a certain height to get into the army. You have to be 6 foot. I think there was a time to get into the British Army. Brother Paul, you'd have made it. There were these two young men were at school. They were finishing their education and they were asked, well, what do you intend to be? Well, one said, I'm joining the army. The other boy said, that's strange, I'm joining it too. Well, one of the young men looked at the other and said, you're what? He says, I'm joining the army. He said, but look at the size of you. You're 5'6". And you need to be, there's not a chance. He said, just by the way, says the young lad, he said, and what height are you? Well, he said, I'm 5'11". Actually, 11.5". He said, but you're not 6 foot. Oh, but I'll get in. So off they went to get, you know, to join the army. The two men walked together. And so they went first of all, and the first person, the 5'11", he walked up and he was said, told to stand up against, and they measured him, and of course he stood on his toes. And the officer said, I say, young man, just put your heel in the ground. Put his heel in the ground, they measured him, he was 5'11". He said, thank you, sir. Or 5'11", thank you, young man. Marched them all. The other wee boy, he comes up and he walks up and he says, right, stand here under the measuring tape. He stood under it. And dear help him, he was just 5'6.5". He says, thank you, young man. Now I want to ask you a question, friend. Which of those two boys do you think got into the army? The answer is neither. Do you know why? They both fell short. Now one tried it. He tried to make himself something that he wasn't. But they both missed it. I want to tell you, my friend, you can try your way to heaven to do the best you can, to work the very skin of your bones to get to heaven and please God, but you will never make it without Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the perfect one. It's not your righteousness that will take you to heaven. It is the righteousness of God in Christ which is reckoned to us. That's how we're saved. Trusting in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible tells us about persons in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us about a young girl, and Jesus came into that home and that young girl just died. She was just dead, probably an hour. The Word of God tells us, my friend, about another person. And he was a young man that was carried out on the shoulders of those that were headed to the grave. He was dead 24 hours. The Bible tells us about a man, and he was dead 4 days. You remember Lazarus? And he was dead 4 days. Now listen to me carefully. One was dead an hour. One was dead 24 hours. One was dead 4 days. Tell me, which one was the most dead? The answer was, they were all the same. And friend, I tell you this, I don't care who you are today. I don't care what reputation you have in this community. I don't care your position in this world. The Word of God says all have sinned. All means all. That means every one of us. And we're all sinners in the sight of God. And here's a man. And he says, God, I thank thee I'm not as others that other men are. He was wrong. And he was lost. What an awful thing to go through life's journey, friend, thinking, hoping that all is well, that you're going to heaven and die in your sin and open your eyes in hell for all eternity. And realize that all you had was something false because you were trusting in yourself. You were trusting in your good works. You were trusting in your religious doings and deeds. You were trusting in your rituals that you were taught as a child. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need a relationship with God, and that is only through His Son, Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. And that's why I say to you, here is a man, Jesus knew this crowd, Jesus knew that there were some that were in that crowd that day, and it says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now let's go to the other man, verse 13, and the publican. The Lord directs our attention now to the other man. It says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now who was he? We knew who the Pharisee was. He was a person that was religious and stood apart from the rest. He was different. He stood by himself. But the publican was looked upon as a renegade Jew. You see, he worked for the Roman authorities, collecting taxes. Well, we had on the one hand, you remember, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. Well, what about the publican? Well, Matthew was a publican. Zacchaeus was a publican. You know what it shows me, friend? It shows me it doesn't matter who you are. God is able to save you. For he saved Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, and he saved Zacchaeus, the publican. And that is the wonderful news, friend. Listen, Jesus saves. One of my favorite hymns is we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the hills and cross the waves. Onward tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. My mother was brought up in a family of 8 children. Her mother, when my mum was a young girl, her mother came to the valley of death. They were waiting on the angel of death coming into that home, leaving 8 little children behind. And then they heard some singing from that dying bedroom. They couldn't understand who was singing. A father, mother, a husband and 8 children walked down and looked into that bedroom. They saw mother raise herself up in the bed and she was singing in her dying moments. She was singing, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I never saw any of my grandparents. My grandfather and grandmother on both sides of the family were gone before I was born. But my grandmother on her dying breath was singing, climb the hills and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I can say, Granny, I never heard you sing and never stood as you sang the words, but I have climbed the hills of Peru. I've crossed the waves and gone up the muddy waters of the Amazon. And I told them, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And I'll tell you why I can tell them. Because Jesus saved me. He's my Savior. And I want to say to you today, there is no other Savior. There is none else that can pardon your sin. There is no one else can cleanse you from your sin. There's no one else can lift the burden of your sin and give you peace within your heart but the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a man. He's despised. He's considered contemptuously. He's considered corrupt. He's considered crooked. But he comes to the temple too. But he comes differently. Not to boast about himself. But he knew he has a need. He has a burden. It's a sin. What does he do? He doesn't stand afar off and boast about himself and talk about himself. No, it says, and the publican standing, listen, afar off. Oh no, he's not standing to separate himself. But he has a sense of a sin. He realizes that because of his sin, he is far from God. That's why he stands afar off. He feels. He's conscious of his sinfulness. And I know that many preachers have removed that from the pulpit today. They talk about mistakes. They talk about little faults. I want to tell you, God calls it one thing, sin. Sin. And this man comes before God, and he stands afar off, and he realizes his sin, as Isaiah 59 says, his sin had separated between him and God. And I want to tell you today, your sin separates between you and God. Listen, and if your sin's not dealt with, your sin will separate you from God forever. That's why it needs to be cleansed. That's why it needs to be forgiven. That's why it needs to be pardoned. That's why it needs to come to the blood. That crimson tide of the precious blood of Jesus, which the Word of God says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And so it says he stood afar off. And then it says this, notice, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. What's this? He senses his unworthiness. He bows his head. You see, usually men lifted up their eyes and looked towards heaven when they prayed. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. But the publican didn't lift his eyes. He stood afar off, for he sensed he was sinful, afar from God, and then he bows his head. For he feels himself unworthy. Unworthy to look up towards God. Why, friend? For he feels the burden of a sin. And you know that burden of a sin, consciousness of his guilt, he fixes his eyes toward the ground. He stands with a broken heart. I ask you today, I ask my own heart, listen, the Bible says a broken and a contrite heart God will not despise. Are you broken over your sin? Does it break your heart when you sin? There's not one of us perfect today. Thank God we stand complete and perfect in Christ. That's because of the imputed righteousness or the reckoned righteousness of Christ to us. My sin was reckoned to him. Thank God his righteousness was reckoned to me. And I stand positionally in Christ today. Thank God complete in Christ. But I confess that in my own personal life, I'm conscious that I fail. I'm conscious of my sin. But the Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, it says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7, in the end of it, it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from, here's these words, all sin. Your sin can be cleansed. You say, but could my sin be cleansed? The Word of God says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from. And the word cleanseth means keeps on cleansing. From all sin. All sin. And then the devil is saying to someone in this meeting today, there is no hope for you. God would never forgive your sin. Listen, my friend. I want to tell you the devil, Jesus says, is a liar. Jesus called him two things. He called him a murderer and a liar. John chapter 8. 44. He's a murderer. He's a liar. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse from all sin. And then he said this, it says, going back to this chapter, it said he stood afar off, he lifted up not so much as his eyes unto heaven, and he smote upon his breast. He kept on smiting or beating. It was an emblem of the stroke of death which the sinner feels that he merits at the hand of God. He knew that all he had was filthy rags. He was so simple. And then he said this. He said, God, God be merciful. I'm not asking you for merit, for I have none to offer. But I'm asking you, God be merciful. And he threw himself on that day. He threw himself on the mercy of God. And he says, God be merciful. Listen to me. To me. A sinner. And the words are actually in the original is, God be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. Thank God. God is a God of justice and God is a God of wrath. But praise God, he's a God of love and he's a God of mercy. And those who throw themselves upon the mercy of God and confess their sin and rest their soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, because God's mercy comes through the substitutionary work of Christ upon the cross. And God can be merciful to you. And God has been merciful to me. Because Jesus Christ, my substitute, took my sins and bare my sin in his own body on the tree. And he threw himself and hears the cry of a lost soul. God. God be merciful to me. Sinner. I deserve your judgment. I deserve wrath. I deserve hell. But God be merciful. As I finish today, the Lord Jesus doesn't leave us there. He said this, verse 14. He says, I tell you, this man, this poor sinner, went down to his house just as if he never had sinned. His sin was dealt with that day. Friend, let me tell you, you can go home justified. Your sin can be cleansed. Your sin can be forgiven. It said he went down justified rather than the other. The publican, he went home lost. He went home as he came. And yet he came to the temple. And he went home lost. I tell you, says Jesus, this man. You see, the publican may not have been an extortioner. The publican may not have been unjust. The publican may not have been an adulterer. But he was lost. And that's what a sinner needs to recognize today. God, I'm lost in my sin. But thank God he came to seek. The Savior came to seek. And to save that which was lost. Amazing grace, said John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. That's my testimony. I once was lost. But thank God now I'm found. Who found me? Did I find myself? No. Thank God he found me. He found me in the sin. He brought me face to face by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was brought face to face with my sin. But thank God I looked away by faith to the Savior. And I received Him. And as many, John 1:12, as many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Friend, I beg you today, if there's one here without Jesus, don't go home lost. Let the Lord save you. Call upon Him. And thank God if you call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. And ask Brother Paul to come forward, please.
Let us bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, we invite you to take this time to deal with your sin. You're in the right place because Jesus is here and Jesus saves. If you're here and you want to accept Christ, I'm just going to say a prayer. And if you wish to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repeat the words after me. I'll ask all the believers here to repeat them with us to encourage you. I'm just going to simply ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, wash all your sins away, trust Him alone for salvation. Let's pray the prayer. Repeat these words after me from your heart as well as your lips. O God, I know I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn away from all of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for all of my sins. I ask you right now, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash away every sin. And make me your child. I thank you now, Jesus, for washing away my sins. Help me to live the Christian life for Thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.